The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Hi, this is Attorney Ken Auerbach from the law offices of Cartier, Bernstein, Auerbach, and Steinberg. If you or someone you care for has been injured through no fault of their own, please contact my office by visiting myinjuryli.com. Be it auto-related accidents, construction, product liability, wrongful death, slip and fall, nursing home negligence, or medical malpractice, please contact us by visiting myinjuryli.com. For nearly three decades, our firm has successfully represented our clients. Through constant communication and support, our clients never feel left out of the loop. We care about their pain, their loss, and their dignity, and of course, their compensation. Please don't hesitate to contact our office to discuss your case by visiting myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. That's myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. Don't wait another day. Ken Auerbach from Cartier, Bernstein, Auerbach, and Steinberg. So glad to be back with you here. Welcome to our program from No Fault of Your Own. We are live today. We'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or anything that we can possibly help you with as we explore personal injury and the most current issues and the most important issues that affect all different types of personal injury recoveries and actions. If you'd like to call us in the studio today, you can call us at 631-451-1039. That's 631-451-1039. As you know, it's our goal to give you an insider's view of bringing and proceeding with personal injury actions, including areas of car accidents, trip and fall, slip and falls, construction accidents, medical malpractice, nursing home neglect, products liability, and various other types of actions that cause serious injuries. Through our journey together, it's my goal, hopefully we can remove some of the mystery and uncertainty and help you feel both empowered, knowledgeable, and confident in the process. And hopefully we can have some fun too as we go along this journey. Well, it's really great to be back with you here today, and I'm just excited to get into some of the most current issues of personal injury. By far, one of the most tragic issues that I've represented clients on are what we call wrongful death cases, which result in someone's death as a result of someone's negligence. Now, this involves when a party is negligent, failed to act, as you know, within reasonable care, did something that wasn't reasonable, or failed to do something in certain circumstances that a reasonable person would have, which results in the terrible loss and the death of someone's life. I've personally been involved in many wrongful death cases resulting from automobile, motorcycle accidents, medical malpractice, and various other scenarios. You oftentimes see these in the context of construction sites also as a result of falls from ladders, scaffolds, roofs, and other height-related things such as where cranes collapse or objects fall and strike someone working on a site. These oftentimes result in devastating injuries or terribly, terribly serious injuries, and oftentimes death. Now, in my experience, one of the areas that is least understood by the general public is the laws and rights involved with wrongful death actions and lawsuits in New York. And I say New York because each state in our country has their own unique laws as to who can make a claim for someone's death and how and when you can make a claim and what you can make a claim for. In New York, the claim can be filed by a spouse, a child, a parent, or someone who has been appointed as the personal representative through the surrogate court in the county where the person who died resided at the time of their death. Now, there are two separate aspects or claims of recovery when a wrongful death action is filed. The first claim is for conscious pain and suffering. Now, what this means is that if your loved one had an awareness and suffered from actual pain before they died, you can recover for that. It's terribly difficult, I would tell you, to explain this requirement to a family member, particularly a parent, that in order for them to recover for the pain and suffering of their child, that I'll have to prove some actual consciousness or awareness of pain prior to their death. And probably it's because if you think about it, the thought of their loved one having pain and then dying is extraordinarily gut-wrenching and really disturbing for anyone. Now, as part of that recovery for conscious pain and suffering, there's a subcategory included in that of what is known as pre-death terror. Now, that involves a situation that sometimes prior to that person's death that they had an awareness of impending death. So you might see this in a situation where a decedent was on a scaffold that was broken, and they were literally hanging on for several minutes until it let go, or they can no longer hold on until they horrifically fell to their death. Another situation might be where the decedent was a pedestrian and they actually saw, let's say, a tractor trailer coming towards them or some other vehicle coming towards them at a high rate of speed before their death. Now, how does one prove such a claim for conscious pain and suffering and or pre-death terror? Well, it requires that the personal injury attorney carefully assess and use all of their tools to calculate and assess and uncover evidence, which can be sometimes in medical records, eyewitness testimony, videos, medical experts, other things which support and prove this consciousness of pain. Now, one of the examples of doing this that I can give you and how this is done involved a terrible situation where I represented a family, parents, who had lost their child, their son. And in that situation, there were three teenagers. They're on the back bumper of an SUV holding on to the roof rack. And the young driver was parked in a parking lot, a school parking lot, and took off really fast while they were on the back of the vehicle. Terribly, the roof rack let go, and all of these three individuals, they fell off of the bumper because the roof rack broke. And when it broke, the three individuals hit the pavement. Two people got up laughing. The other person, the person who ultimately I was representing his estate, didn't get up, struck the ground, and was badly hurt. He didn't die right away and was brought actually to the hospital where he survived several days until he did die. Now, the reality is that unless I could prove that he had consciousness of pain, awareness of that pain over those few days, then there could be zero recovery for conscious pain and suffering. And that shocks many people, but that's what the law is. That was one of the arguments the insurance company actually in that case for the driver was making. And what I was able to do in that case is utilize the father's testimony that during those few days, that as he was hugging his son in the hospital bed while he was seemingly unconscious, he saw a tear coming from his child's eye onto his cheek. The hospital records also seemed to support that, some consciousness of pain, and I was able to recover for that conscious pain and suffering on behalf of that family. As an aside, I'll tell you, that was even more difficult, that case, for the family because he was an identical twin. So could you imagine every day looking at your surviving son for the rest of your life and seeing your other son staring back at you? Just a terrible, terrible thought. By the way, if you're just joining us, my name's Ken Auerbach, and this is a program called From No Fault of Your Own. And we explore the most important issues in personal injury caused by accidents. If you're interested in contacting me, if you have any situations, please don't hesitate. Love to help you. Love to talk to you about it. You could contact me by going on the web at www.myinjury.com. That's myinjury.com. Call me at 631-654-4900 or Google me. You will find me. Ken Auerbach, AUERBACH. We'd be privileged to fight to get you justice. We'd be privileged to make sure that if you do have the right to be fairly compensated, or your loved one does, that we will make sure that that happens. So before we go to the other side, I will just tell you that I want everyone to consider the fact that these accidents happen when one least expects them. And you need someone who's going to fight for you, who's going to recognize your rights to fight and get fair and just compensation. And you need someone to make sure that whatever those rights are, that you will be served to the fullest. They will fight for you, but someone you could trust. And I'm hoping as we go through this, you'll recognize the fact that you do need someone good. And I'd be blessed if you ever contact me. Thank you very much. We'll see you on the other side. Hi, this is personal injury Ken Auerbach, and we are so excited to have you with us. If you're just joining us, we're on our program From No Fault of Your Own, where we explore the most important issues in personal injuries caused by accidents, somebody's negligence. If you're interested, you have any questions you want to call in today, we are live. You can call into the studio at 631-451-1039. That's 631-451-1039. You could contact me and discuss any issues with regard to any possible personal injury matters that you might have at www.myinjuryli.com. Call me at 631-654-4900 or Google me, Ken Auerbach, A-U-E-R-B-A-C-H. We would be privileged to fight to get you justice. So I was telling you about the law with regard to wrongful death, and we've already gone over the issue with regard to pain and suffering and how the pain and suffering has to be conscious pain, not something that you can't see or prove. You have to be able to prove it. The amount of recovery that you can make in New York for conscious pain and suffering is based mostly on the extent of that awareness and the length of time that of that awareness. So a person who has conscious pain and suffering for a few seconds or minutes will have a case in terms of the value that's significantly less than a person who has such conscious pain and suffering for days, weeks, or years. So the longer the awareness of such pain, typically the more value. Now, as a personal injury lawyer, that is an awful conversation to have with a loved one, but it's truth. And it should be discussed with the family members bringing the suit earlier than later. Otherwise, their expectations will not likely be met later. And it seems harsh, but that's required. And as I say to everybody, if you want to be represented by someone who's going to give it to you straight, that's the kind of lawyer I am. If you want someone just to hold back the truth and maybe some tough facts with regard to the law, just not the right person. I don't think that ever does you any good. Being represented by someone like that. And so theoretically then, if a person dies instantly as a result of someone's negligence, then there's no recovery one can make for conscious pain and suffering. Again, that is why it is critical to have an experienced personal injury attorney to look at every bit of the proof to support your claim. Now, the second part of a wrongful death claim, as far as recovery, is a claim made for economic loss by those individuals financially relying on the person who died. Now, the clearest examples I can give you of these are a person who's lost their spouse or a child, their parent. So for a person whose spouse is working and supporting them and their household, their spouse's death can be devastating economically. And the recovery for those losses sometimes can be hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions, depending on the amount of earning capacity that the person who died had, which includes how much they were making at the time of their death, possibly also benefits they were having, the possibility that they would have increased what they would have earned, how much longer they would have worked. And the economic loss may not only be salary, but as I said, other benefits, including the cost of medical insurance that the decedent was maybe providing for the family and such that the family's not going to have that anymore, or the decrease in the value of a pension. In addition to the economic losses also, that I just mentioned, they also include loss of household services to the surviving spouse, such as contributing to repairs around the house, and et cetera, that the surviving spouse now has to pay someone else. Now, likewise, any surviving children have a possible similar claim for monies that their parent will not be able to provide to them that they otherwise likely would have had they not died. Now, how much of a recovery that a child will get will depend on a number of factors, including the age of the child and what would be expected that the decedent would have provided based on history. A child can also have a claim for something called the loss of guidance of a parent. And we all know that a parent's guidance is unique and critical, and the value of this will be proven and supported by showing what the parent did while alive in providing guidance and what they likely would provide into the future. The jury is instructed by the court that a parent is only obligated to support a child until they are 21, but in making an award, they're not bound by that and can make an award actually for support and guidance in theory up to the amount of time that that parent would have been expected to live had they not died as a result of someone's negligence. The one thing that actually shocks people who've already lost a loved one as a result of someone's negligence, whether a spouse, a parent, a child, or otherwise, New York does not, and I repeat, does not allow for recovery for your emotional loss and pain. Now, that shocks many people, but importantly, that's what the law is, and you need to know it. Unfortunately, that's what the law is. Other states do allow for it. The only way that can be changed is by the legislature, New York State legislature, changing that. I do know in 2019 that they were considering changing that, but as of now, they haven't. I believe clearly that should happen since, really, if you think about it, the emotional pain and loss is often real, and it's devastating. Let's hope the legislature amends that law to include that, such as other states allow for it. So the last thing I would say to you is in evaluating what a case is worth, each case is its own little animal. And when I say animal, I'm talking about it's just different. And because someone else recovered for X number of dollars, it doesn't mean that's what you're entitled to. You may be entitled to more or less depending on the facts. And that's where a good personal injury lawyer comes in. Again, these are critical issues. They have to be explored. They have to be analyzed to the fullest by an experienced, capable personal injury lawyer. And if you or any of your loved ones or someone you care about is in such a situation, would love for you to contact me. It'd be my privilege to represent you. You could contact me at www.myinjuryli.com. Call me at 631-654-4900 or Google me, Ken Auerbach. It's Ken, Auerbach. So we are just so fortunate today to have someone here with us. Her name is June. And in our continuing attempt to give you knowledge and empower you in pursuing a personal injury claim, if you or someone else you care about is injured or, God forbid, is killed as a result of someone's negligence, we have on the show June. June is the mother of a young man who was 18 at the time, who was in a horrific motor vehicle accident. He suffered devastating injuries, including a brain injury. And in addition to his brain injury, he had a tear to his aorta, which usually results in death. But in this case, the aorta did not tear all the way through. And over a course of 2 months, he was being treated at a hospital. And sadly, as he was recovering as a result of clear malpractice and negligence on the part of that hospital, he died. I actually presented two separate cases to two separate juries, and we obtained verdicts in our favor on both cases. Now, June has been gracious and kind to join us today and recount what is a tremendously tragic situation of her son, Josiah's death, and her experiences within this legal process. And I, on behalf of my firm, represented her and the family, and I was able to fight for justice for the loss of this beautiful life. June, I want to thank you so much for taking the time and coming to share with us today and our listeners, June.
My pleasure.
So, June, we're coming up quick to the other side. I just want to thank you. I know this is difficult, June, and we're going to have a lot of time to spend with you today in the next few minutes. I'm hoping, June, through this process, that our listeners will be able to hear what it really is like going through the process of fighting for justice for your loved one. And in this case, your loved one certainly deserved that. And my hope here is that we can help others in this process. And it would be my privilege, again, to represent anybody else that's in a similar situation. We will be seeing you on the other side as we come back on our program from No Fault of Your Own, as we explore the most current and important issues in the area of personal injury. Hi, this is Attorney Ken Auerbach from the law offices of Cartier, Bernstein, Auerbach, and Steinberg. If you or someone you care for has been injured through no fault of their own, please contact my office by visiting myinjuryli.com. Be it auto-related accidents, construction, product liability, wrongful death, slip and fall, nursing home negligence, or medical malpractice, please contact us by visiting myinjuryli.com. For nearly three decades, our firm has successfully represented our clients. Through constant communication and support, our clients never feel left out of the loop. We care about their pain, their loss, and their dignity, and of course, their compensation. Please don't hesitate to contact our office to discuss your case by visiting myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. That's myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. Don't wait another day. Welcome back to our show. We're so glad to have you here today on our program from No Fault of Your Own. And if you need to contact me to discuss any issues with regard to personal injury, whether it's a wrongful death case, whether it's serious injury, I'd be so privileged to be able to talk to you. You contact me at www.myinjuryli.com, call 631-654-4900, or Google me at Ken Auerbach, A-U-E-R-B-A-C-H. Well, we're back here with my good friend, June, and June has been so gracious to come here, and I know it's difficult for you to come here, June, and talk about the circumstances under which her 18-year-old died tragically after being in a horrific car accident, and then surviving for 2 months, and then being subject to medical malpractice. So, June, could you tell us first, how old was your son? Well, first of all, what was your son's name, June?
Josiah.
And how old was he, June, when he was involved in the automobile accident?
He was 18.
Okay. And what were the circumstances? Was he driving? Was he a passenger?
He was a passenger in the front passenger seat. There was another good friend of his driving and another friend in the back seat.
Okay. And terribly, the friend who was driving in the driver's seat, of course, died instantly at the scene. Is that correct, June?
Yes, that's correct.
And the friend in the back, I know, was injured too. I think he had a fractured leg, but Josiah suffered devastating injuries. He had a head injury, a severe head injury, and he also, unfortunately, had a tear to his aorta, which they did surgery on, which actually went well. But unfortunately, after that, June, Josiah was subjected to another surgery and subjected to terrible medical malpractice. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. June, how did you find out that Josiah was in an accident? I know that's every parent's nightmare.
Yes, it was. In fact, at first I thought it was a joke, because who would want to believe such a thing? It was the middle of the night, and two police officers appeared at the door, got me out of bed, and told me that earlier that evening, my son Josiah had been involved in a very serious car accident, and he was at the hospital, and I was being summoned. So I looked around for Josiah, thinking it was definitely a prank, hoping and praying it was a prank, and it was not a prank. That's how I found out.
Wow. And he was out just like any other young person, right? Josiah was 18 at the time, right?
Yes.
So he was out with his friends, his two friends.
Yes.
And I believe, as I recall, they were just on their way home. Isn't that correct?
Yes, he had been at one of their homes.
And, you know, one of the things that I tell people is that oftentimes these accidents happen within a very, very short distance from your ultimate destination, typically from your home. And this case, again, I think Josiah probably would have been maybe a mile and a half away from home approximately. Is that correct?
Yes, I think so.
And so we never expect it's going to happen when it's close. Josiah did have a seatbelt on, I will say that. Mm-hmm. And so he was doing the right thing. But others, sometimes they'll drive short distances and figure, well, it's not a big deal, I'm only going a short distance. And, you know, lo and behold, you have this horrific, horrific situation. And without that seatbelt, you have no chance. So how did we first meet, June?
While Josiah was maybe the first week in the hospital, we realized that we needed representation, legal representation. And my ex-husband actually had heard of you. You were very highly recommended to him. And so we called you, very unsure of even what we needed, but hoping that you would be able to tell us that, which you did. And you even came right to the hospital because we didn't want to leave the hospital. We didn't want to leave Josiah. And you came right there. And we talked, and that's how it began.
I remember meeting you there, and it is just such an incredibly difficult thing to meet a family whose whole world is really upside down.
Yeah.
You know, it's the last thing that you expected to happen, and you just kind of at that point going, you know, minute to minute, right?
That's right.
And I do remember when I met you, obviously, Josiah was in the hospital, and he actually had a surgery, a couple of surgeries, and he was obviously alive. He was, you know, obviously recovering. He was seriously hurt, but he was recovering at that point from his injuries, correct?
Yes.
And I actually remember distinctly looking in to the room where Josiah was. And as you might recall, he was intubated at the time. And just thinking, wow, what an accident, because the pictures of this accident, what happened, was unbelievable. I mean, the vehicles actually, there was some fire in the vehicles. It was unbelievable. Do you remember at the time of Josiah's accident, whether he was involved, you know, any kind of serious relationship?
Yes, he was in a relationship.
Okay. And I believe he was engaged at the time.
Yes, with a very, very wonderful young lady.
And there was something special going on there too, right? They were expecting, right?
Yeah, unexpectedly expecting.
Okay. And Josiah's child was due to be born in October.
Yes.
Right? And he had this accident in July.
Correct.
So Josiah's fiance was 6 months pregnant at that time, right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Now, at that time, I assume he didn't, but Josiah did not have any other children, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Was he excited about his child?
Never saw anybody so happy.
Okay. I think I remember you sharing with me something about him having the picture of the sonogram.
Yes, and driving all around the town, showing every one of his friends.
Showing everybody that.
Yeah, he was very proud of his child.
Now, obviously, there's been and was a tremendous legal process here. And the legal process in this case involved us first having a lawsuit regarding the car accident, right?
Yes.
And then there was a second part to that, which involved the medical malpractice as a result of what had occurred to him while he was in the hospital and ultimately caused his death. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, the legal process in this case, did the case actually go to trial?
The first case?
Yes.
Yes, the first case went to trial with a jury.
And that was on the liability, on the responsibility of whether the defendant was responsible, actually, for causing the accident, right?
That's right.
And that case actually went to verdict.
Yes, it did.
And so we had to wait to hear a jury come in there. And I can tell you that for anyone who hasn't actually been a trial lawyer, that's a very nerve-wracking time as you've presented your case. You think you've done a good job. And as experienced as I am, I still always say, until they actually come in and I hear what they say, I never know exactly what they're going to do. Mm. Fortunately, in this case, on that first trial, it was found in our favor, and the jury was able to find the defendants responsible. Josiah, of course, was a passenger, so he had no responsibility, but found the defendants responsible for it, and that ultimately allowed us to get to the place where that first case resolved very significantly. Is that correct?
That is very true.
Okay. We're here on the program, no fault of your own. I'm sorry. We're going to be coming back on the other side with our amazing guest, June, and we're going to be talking about an amazing life of Josiah. See you on the other side. Hi, it's Personal Injury Ken Auerbach. So glad to have you back on our program from No Fault of Your Own. If you're just joining us and you want to call into the studio with a question, love to hear from you. You could call 631-451-1039. Otherwise, if you'd like to contact me and discuss your situation, your personal injury case, your loved one, whether it's a serious injury involving a car accident, medical malpractice, construction accident, slip and fall, or many others, you can please call me. You can get me at www.myinjuryli.com. It's www.myinjuryli.com. Call me at 631-654-4900 or Google me at Ken Auerbach, A-U-E-R-B-A-C-H. With love and privilege to talk to you and fight to get you justice. And if you're just joining us, we have this program every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. as we explore these issues. Well, we're back here with my good friend June, and we're going to continue on and hear from June because her story is real, it's true, and I lived it, she lived it, as we fought to get justice for the loss of Josiah's life at 18 years of age. And June, we talked about the first trial, had to do with the automobile collision and who was responsible, and we got a jury verdict in our favor, and we're able to get significant, obviously, compensation, settling that matter. But then there was a second case, the medical malpractice, June, and you recall that case going on, June. That was about 30 days. That took us a good month, that case, didn't it?
Yes.
And I can tell you it was a marathon. I've never been so tired and spent, both emotionally, physically, because I knew what had happened here. And I knew Josiah was entitled to justice. And the defendants in that case, June, did not want to take responsibility. Isn't that right?
Oh, boy, is that right?
Right. And yeah. So anything about that process, you know, that trial surprised you, disappoint you, or leave you with any strong feelings, June?
Yes, definitely. I remember wondering why it was even being permitted. The lawyers were accusing him. They were accusing him falsely of things they were just pulling out of nowhere and trying to devalue his life. It was excruciating, never mind unjust. And I wondered why it was even being permitted. It was horrible.
And that goes back to June, where we were talking about that issue in terms of economic loss.
Yes, and the reason they were doing that was because they didn't want to pay as much money as it looked like they were going to have to pay.
Right, right. And economically, since your grandson was yet to be born,
yes,
Josiah obviously would be raising his son. And had he raised his son, he would have supported him and given him guidance.
Yes.
And the defendants, you know, what they do is they go after whoever they have to go after oftentimes. And in this case, they were trying to impugn Josiah's, really his character. And to say, well, he maybe wouldn't have been good for nothing, which was unbelievable. And there was nothing in his background that would tell you anything like that. But I know it was torturous, June, and I remember talking to you about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it really inspired me, June, to fight really, really, really hard.
Yes.
And I recall, June, you actually testified in that trial, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And June was able to, I can tell you, present everything that she knew about Josiah. And let me tell you something. The jury was captured. The jury knew that a loss of a beautiful life had occurred, and they did not and would not let the defendants get away with it. They would not let them get away with trying to hurt what turns out to be the ultimate victim, right, when you lose your life. Would you share a little with us about Josiah? Why don't you tell us about him?
Sure. Well, let me start with this. I was going to church one day while Josiah, after he had passed away, and a homeless man was waiting in the lobby of the church for me. And the ushers brought him to me and said, this man is looking for the mother of Josiah. I said, oh, really? So I approached the man and I said, are you looking for Josiah's mom? And he said, yes. He said, he gave me a big hug, and he said, thanks, Mom. And I said, for what? And he said, well, every time your son came into the woods and brought us sandwiches, he'd always say, thank my mom.
Wow.
And so after Josiah passed, well, he decided that he was going to find me, and he needed to thank me. So he thanked me in that way. Through that, I discovered that why all my cold cuts were always disappearing, like right after I bought them, there was not enough people in my home to be eating them all. And that's where they were going. So Josiah was feeding the homeless.
So Josiah was feeding the homeless.
Yes.
You didn't even know that.
No, I
wow.
didn't. And he could have told me. I would have been proud of him. But
By the way, the jury heard that. And I remember talking to them after. And he was only here for 18 years, but he left quite a legacy.
Yeah, he did.
Let me ask you this question, if you don't mind.
Sure.
So your grandchild was born in October, which would have been a month, basically 5 or 6 weeks after Josiah passes away, right?
Yes.
So he never met his father, correct?
No, he never met his father, but you'd never know it because he's just like his daddy.
And how old is your grandson now?
He's 16 now.
Wow. Yeah, and I think he's going to be 17. No, actually 17, right? We talked about that. He's 17.
Yes.
He's going to be 18
yes.
in October. So he's going to be Josiah's age.
Yes, imagine.
Right? Just come in a very short time.
Yeah.
June, could you tell us, we don't have a lot of time, but I want to get through a couple of things. It's really important. Could you tell us, how did you get through this, and any advice you'd give to those going through similar tragic circumstances?
Well, I remember when I was called to the hospital, I was actually in church when I was called to the hospital when Josiah died. And my pastor, Pastor Gary Stevens of New Beginnings Church in Corum, stood by my side. And I have to say that he was one of the biggest reasons I made it through. He just stood with me like glue and helped me in any way that he possibly could. We went to the hospital and stood over Josiah's dead body together. And I thank him very much for that.
So basically, your obviously belief and your strong faith.
I have strong faith in God, yes.
Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. When all else fails, right, you have nothing else.
That's exactly right.
It's amazing. So, June, obviously my firm represented your family.
Yes.
Were you and was your family satisfied with the representation by myself and Cartier, Bernstein, Auerbach, Steinberg?
Above and beyond our wildest expectations, honest. It was unbelievable.
I really appreciate those words, June, and I was beyond fortunate and blessed to be able to represent your family. Mm-hmm. June, the last thing that I'd like to ask you, I think it's important, is how would you like others to remember Josiah, or what couple of words would you like to say to our listeners as we start to close this program?
I would like to share that no matter who you lose in life when you least expect it, it's so important to be happy and grateful for having known them. I think that's the absolute main thing that I would stress, is don't get hung up on the last days of their life where they may have suffered and then they died. And don't think about the fact that they suffered and died and they're gone. I mean, don't you remember all the good times? Let's remember the good times, the happy times, the times that I remember him saving another person's life, encouraging and teaching and loving others. And I think that Josiah would want us to remember him by saying, love one another deeply from the heart. Take care of one another, starting with your family and then going outward to your friends and community.
Wow, what a lesson that was today, June. And I think that's something that we all should take very seriously. And the words that you gave us, Lord, that you gave us were just wonderful. And I know that you made Josiah proud here today, June, and just thank you for his life. Thank you for being with us today. We'll see you next week on From No Fault of My Own.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.